Cantonese kids.
I'm Rose.
And I'm Zara.
And together we're presenting this weekly podcast about what's going on in our world today.
This week we're talking about Harry and Meghan again, the Philippines volcano, how the UK will mark the moment of Brexit, Martin Luther King Day, internet cookies, what's happening with the plane company Flybe, and whether avoiding flying really is a solution to climate change.
Hi, it's Rose here. This week's top news story is again about the Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Prince Harry and Meghan Markle. After a week of discussions and negotiations with the Queen and other senior royals, it was revealed on Saturday that Harry and Meghan have now agreed a plan to distance themselves from the royal family and what the media have termed Mexit. Discussions followed Prince Harry and Meghan Markle's announcements last week that they wanted to step back from their role as senior royals and divide their time between the UK and North America. After that statement, which took everyone, including the Queen, by surprise, the palace has rushed to bring it to a swift conclusion. Under the newly agreed deal with the palace, which will come into effect this spring, Prince Harry and Meghan will no longer use their HRH titles and will not receive public funds or royal duties. HRH, an abbreviation of His or Her Royal Highness, is used as part of the title of some members of the royal family. The couple will now be known as Harry, Duke of Sussex, and Meghan, Duchess of Sussex. It is understood that in return for dropping the use of the HRH titles, there will be no oversight on how the couple earn money, meaning they can make whatever commercial deals they want. Harry and Meghan will no longer formally represent the Queen and have said they intend to repay the £2.4 million of taxpayer money used to refurbish their UK home, Frogmore Cottage. The Queen said that following many months of conversations and more recent discussions, she was pleased that together we have found a constructive and supportive way forward for my grandson and his family. There are still lots of unanswered questions about where exactly Prince Harry and Meghan will live, although their preference is believed to be Canada, which is where Meghan and their son Archie are currently staying. People are also asking who will pay for their security costs and how they will go about shaping their careers independently from the royal family. So, it's all quite surprising and shocking, really, although I think it's good they have agreed so quickly, unlike Brexit. Right, Zara?
You are right, because the Queen, she's handled Meghan and Harry leaving so quickly and easily. But yet again, Brexit is taking forever. I really do think that the Queen should be in charge of Brexit, not Boris Johnson.
Hello, this is Zara. This week, a volcano in the Philippines called the Taal Volcano began spewing lava, and experts warned that an eruption was possible. The volcano is located about 45 miles from the capital city of Manila. Taal is the Philippines' second most active volcano. It is situated on an island in the middle of a lake and has had at least 34 eruptions in the past 450 years. About 450,000 people are estimated to live within the 14-kilometer danger zone of the Taal volcano, and the Philippine Institute of Volcanology has urged people living around the volcano and nearby areas to evacuate. About 8,000 people have now evacuated. Flights were also suspended early in the week at Manila's International Airport due to volcanic ash, although these have now been resumed. Earthquakes and volcanic activity are quite common in the Philippines, as it is in a part of the world known as the Ring of Fire, which is a zone of major seismic activity. I do hope everyone remains safe there.
It's Rose here again. There has been a lot of talk this week in the media about if and how the moment of Brexit should be marked.
after the Prime Minister Boris Johnson suggested that Big Ben should chime at 11 p.m. on 31st January. This would be the exact moment of the UK's departure from the European Union, as it would be midnight in Brussels at this time, which is the headquarters of the EU. However, because the Elizabeth Tower, which houses Big Ben, is currently closed for a long period of renovation, it was reported that the likely cost of having Big Ben chime 11 times to mark Brexit would be as high as £500,000. Boris Johnson suggested that people in England could donate money towards the cost of this, and a crowdfunding campaign was then started, which raised more than £200,000. However, lots of people believed it was a waste of money and that it was inappropriate for Big Ben to chime. So, the House of Commons agreed that the cost of using Big Ben could not be justified. Instead, they have arranged a light show projecting an image of a clock onto Parliament buildings, which will count down the minutes until 11 p.m. on 31st January. As part of the plans for Brexit Day, Boris Johnson will give a speech, union flags will be flown in Parliament Square, and a special 50p coin will also enter circulation to mark the occasion. And after Brexit takes place on 31st January, what happens then? The UK will enter a transition period where many agreements between Britain and Europe will remain the same. The purpose of the transition is to enable a new round of negotiations to take place to determine what the future relationship will eventually look like. There are still lots of things to be decided. And of course, we'll keep you updated on NewsKids.
Hello, this is Zara. Did you know that on the 20th of January, it was Martin Luther King Day? Martin Luther King Day is a national holiday in the United States and is held on the third Monday of January. It celebrates the life and achievements of Martin Luther King Jr., who was a civil rights activist in the 1950s and the 1960s. He led non-violent protests for the rights of all people, including African Americans. He hoped that America and the world would become a colorblind society where race and color would not affect a person's civil rights. When Martin Luther King was growing up in Atlanta, there was a segregation by race in places like schools, buses, and restaurants. That was the law. Martin Luther King experienced racial prejudice from the time that he was young, and it inspires him to dedicate his life to achieving equality and justice for Americans of all colors. Martin Luther King's I Have a Dream speech has become one of the famous speeches in the history, where he talks about his dream for a united America. One of the most famous lines of this speech is, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." He was a really powerful speaker. In 1964, the Civil Rights Act was passed, outlawing racial segregation and discrimination in the USA. Martin Luther King was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1964 for his effort to end racial discrimination and segregation through nonviolence. Sadly, he was shot in 1968, standing on the balcony of his hotel. He will always be remembered for his work and his dreams that one day everyone will be treated as equals.
Hi, it's Rose here. Google has announced it will restrict the number of advertising cookies on websites accessed through the Google Chrome browser in response to calls for stricter control on the internet privacy. Cookies are small text files that are used to track users across the web. They collect information about the way people use different websites and the things they search for. They might record how long people spend on each page on a site, what links they click, even their preferences for a page layout and color schemes. They can also be used to store data on what is in someone's shopping cart. All of this information can be very useful to advertising companies. Justin Xu, Google's Director of Chrome Engineering, said, "Users are demanding greater privacy, including transparency, choice, and control over how their data is used. And it's clear the web ecosystem needs to evolve to meet these increasing demands. Third-party cookies, which follow users from site to site, tracking their browsing habits, have already been banned by other internet browsers, including Apple, Microsoft, and Mozilla.
So, the big question, Rose, is why are internet cookies called cookies? I was really disappointed because I thought this news story was going to be about cookies or biscuits.
Yes, I looked this one up. Apparently it's because of the similarity to fortune cookies, which are the little biscuits with a hidden message inside. Internet cookies are similar because each one carries an embedded message.
It's Zara here. Over the past few months, I have covered quite a lot of stories about companies struggling and going into administration. Well, this week, another large company, Flybe, was going to collapse, but the government has agreed a rescue plan. Flybe is a UK regional airline carrying about 8 million passengers a year between airports including Birmingham, Southampton, Manchester, Belfast City, Cardiff, Aberdeen, and parts of Europe. In recent years, it has had financial difficulties. However, ministers have agreed to work with the airline on a repayment plan for some of the company's tax debt, which is thought to be more than £100 million. Ministers have also said that they will review the taxes that UK airlines have to pay. Flybe's owners have also agreed to put extra money into the airline. This is good news for the 2,000 people that work for the airline, as their jobs would be at risk if it had to close down. However, the prospect of cutting taxes on flying has made climate activists angry. They argue that it is the most carbon-intensive form of transport, and domestic flights should be reduced, not made cheaper.
What do you think, Rose? Should flying be more expensive or less expensive?
I think they should stay the same as they are right now, but maybe they could make greener planes and they'd use the greener planes much more often.
I agree. Planes should just be more eco-friendly.
Yeah. If you're traveling like from one city to another, just take a train. Don't take planes.
I feel like that is a good idea.
But if you're traveling long distance, maybe greener planes would help.
Yeah.
Not always practical.
Well, while I was reading the news, I found an article about Matt Hancock saying that we can't exactly give up flying, just make the planes more eco-friendly.
I totally agree, Zara. We need to find a way to make air travel much better for the environment. Hopefully some scientists will come up with a solution soon.
That's all for this week. I hope you enjoyed our show, and thank you for listening.